Thank you very, very much. A couple of times a year or so, as the Lord leads, we follow the Lord in observing the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. And I thought it would be appropriate the Sunday before Easter for us to observe the Lord's Supper. And I just want to read some from the Word of God and give a few statements, and then we'll begin to observe the Lord's Supper here. Matthew 27, beginning with verse number 26. Matthew 27, verse 26. Let me say before I forget here that the Lord's Supper is observed by God's children. And at this church, we allow a person to examine themselves. You do not have to be a member of this church to partake the Lord's Supper with us. All we ask is that you examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith and your heart is right with God, and you take of the Lord's Supper. That's between you and the Lord. Look at Matthew 27, 26. Let these verses speak to your heart. Then released he Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him, put him in a scarlet robe. When they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." As I read this, try to picture this in your mind. They have scourged him. They have beaten him. They have stripped him of his own clothes. They've put a scarlet robe around him. They platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And he's standing there with a reed in his right hand. And in mockery, they're bowing before him. Verse 30. And they spit upon him, and took the reed and smote him on the head. After that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. As they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. When they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." They did it in mockery, but that's a statement of truth there, isn't it? This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." They don't understand that they were making a statement there. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. They meant that as mockery, but really when you look at that statement and summarize it, hey, if he was going to save others, himself he could not save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. Imagine this now. At high noon, from 12 to 3, God turned out the lights. There's darkness from 12 to 3. And around 3 o'clock, around the ninth hour, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried with a loud voice, do you hear him, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is to say, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, "This man calleth for Elias." Straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Let verse 51 speak to your heart. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were open and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Would you like to have been there for that? I mean, the dead saints, here they come walking down the middle of the street. Verse 54, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." That is a powerful, powerful portion of Scripture, isn't it? Why do you have the Lord's Supper? Why do we come to a time like this? We come to a time like this to remember what I just read for you. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you don't need to turn to it. Here's what it said. In verse 23, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" You know, something that speaks to my heart here is that when he took that bread that he knows represents his body, it's not his body, it just represents his body. The Bible said when he had given thanks, he knew what was going to happen. And he still gave thanks for the bread. And he told the people, "Take and eat this. For this is my body, which is broken for you." After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." It's a sobering time that we've come to tonight. This is a time where we set aside as a local church body, a local church family, where we've come together to remember what the Lord has done for us. We remember that his body was broken on Calvary. That's the bread. We remember that his blood was shed on Calvary. That's the juice. And the Bible says, "Let a man examine himself." I remind you that the candidates to partake of the Lord's Supper are born again children of God whose hearts are right with him. So we ask you to examine yourself. Are you a believer? Are you born again? Have you trusted Jesus Christ and Christ alone? And as far as you know, is your heart right with the Lord? Not asking, are you perfect, but are you wanting to please him with your life? So I'm going to do something a little bit different. I want to give us just a moment for us all to examine ourselves. So I want to ask us just to quietly bow our heads, close our eyes, and let's all examine ourselves in preparation for the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask the deacons to stand, please. The Lord Jesus told those with him that night to take and eat. For this is his body. This is not his literal body, it's just a symbol. His broken body for us. This do in remembrance of me, Jesus said. I'm going to ask Brother Steve Mullins, if you wouldn't mind, sir, to stand. Thank the Lord for his broken body and for his shed blood that we're about to remember as well.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation. Praise you.
The Lord Jesus said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." I like every now and then to give you as a church family the opportunity to share a word of testimony. And I encourage you, as I coach you along in this, this is not a time for sad tales. It's not a time for woe is me and woe is our country and all of this. Forget all of that. Tonight is a time to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to testify, if the Lord so leads, and what His broken body and His shed blood means to you. We're here to remember His sacrifice. So I'm going to pray. And if you feel the Lord would have you share a testimony, and the only way I can tell you that you know He wants you to do it is you'll know, okay? If you are able to stand, we're going to ask you to stand and wait until one of these young men bring you a microphone for the benefit of those who are listening live tonight so they can hear and listen to the testimonies. If you cannot stand but you'd like to speak, just simply raise your hand and we'll see you. Wait for a microphone to come. Let's pray. Lord, we love You tonight. Thank You for what this occasion means. And may the testimony service be one that is well-pleasing in Your sight. Your Word says that You inhabitest the praises of your people, and I pray that You will be pleased with us tonight, meet with us tonight, visit with us tonight. May You be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody has a word of testimony, you just stand or raise your hand all the way in the back there, please.
Saving me as an 8-year-old girl during neighborhood Bible time. And the lady that counseled with me that morning, she saw the face of Jesus today. Miss Betty Mae.
God bless you. Somebody else. As the Lord leads.
He's good, folks. God's good all the time. Praise His high and holy name. I've been saved for quite a while. I can't get over it. Saved when I was 13. Amen. He's so good. Praise His name. Glory. He's good. He's a good God. He's been good to us all. What a wonderful church we have. What a wonderful church family we have. What a wonderful God we have. He's so good. He not only died, but he's alive today. You can go around this world on mission trips and see a lot of God's statues and graves. They're dead. And you can see the people that are dead in that religion. We have a religion that lives. We have a God that lives. We're getting ready to celebrate that at Easter. He lives forever and ever. And we get to live with him forever and ever. Because what he did on that cross that day, he finished the work that lasts forever. The past, the present, and the future, it never wears out. Thank you, Jesus, for that shed blood that saved my soul.
Go right ahead. I just want to praise the Lord for saving me. His three sweetest words to me are, "It is finished." Because I don't have to try paying for my sins. And I just want to thank the Lord for saving me and obviously saving so many in here and around the world.
Amen.
Precious blood.
Amen. Amen. Good. God bless you. Yes, sir.
Sorry. I'm overwhelmed because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. God sent his son, shed his blood for me. And I'm so thankful for that.
Amen. 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 Good.
I just want to say that not only the nails kept him on the cross, but our sin.
Yes. Yes.
It's dangerous to give a preacher a mic, but I just have to give a testimony. I'm not preaching, but he's been a wonderful Savior to me. And I love him. He's been with me down through life. He loves me. Even though I've failed him many times, he's never failed me. But this morning, about 5:30, sitting back there in my hideaway office, and Rod Newman called me from up in Indiana and said, "Preacher, Betty went to be with the Lord this morning." They called 911, and on the way to in the 911 vehicle, she passed away. And, you know, the Lord wanted me to just say this. Betty is one of the hardest working ladies ever been in this church. On a big day, she'd make at least 75 visits. I mean, she just had all kind of energy. But you know what? It's worth it all now for Betty. She's heard him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So we just need to keep on keeping on. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus.
I'm so thankful that God saw fit to send his only begotten son just to save me. If I'd been the only one, he would have done it. I was a hard head. I was raised in a preacher's home, and I was 50 years old when I actually got saved. I thought I was saved, but I only had head knowledge. I didn't have heart knowledge. But I was so afraid to go forward because of what people would think and what they would think about my daddy that I loved him. That they wouldn't want to listen to him again, and his only daughter wasn't even saved. But God was long-suffering. He kept pleading, and I kept fighting. That night when I got saved, It was as if God was saying, this is it, Pam. This is it. I've dealt with you long enough. And I gave in and I got saved. And God was so gracious. And I'm thankful that He loved me that much, that He waited.
Let me build on that testimony. Is it possible somebody could be here tonight and you're like, what are these people testifying about? Or is it possible somebody's here and the Lord's dealing with your heart like He was dealing with hers? And the devil's trying to get you to fight it. What's everybody going to think? What's everybody going to say? May I say this to you? First of all, you shouldn't care what other human beings think anyway. But any human being whose heart is right with God would rejoice with you if you trust Christ as your Savior. But it really doesn't matter what man thinks. It matters what God knows, right? So if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ, we may not have a formal invitation where you come forward, but we're here for you. If you'll come see me, see one of these deacons, see one of our wives, we'll help you any way we can. Want you to Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be great for somebody, as a result of the Lord's Supper, to be convicted and be saved by the grace of God? And if that's you, make tonight the greatest night of your life. I appreciate that testimony. God bless you. Somebody else?
A lot of years ago, I was working second shift. I came home about midnight, sat down on the kitchen table, picked this, not this particular book, but anyway, the Bible. And 1 John 5:11 just jumped off the page to me. For this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And for me, Jesus Christ shed His blood, His body was broken, that I would have the opportunity to go to heaven. Tonight I want to praise Him and lift Him up and rejoice, because I believe He would have done it. If I'd have been the only one, I think He would have done it. And I praise Him tonight for this book. For this is the record. And the Bible says this is the Word of God. This is God. And so He gave that to me that night many years ago. I praise Him for it.
Preacher and I were talking about 2 weeks ago that it was 20 years ago this month that I was saved. I'd been coming to Buffalo Ridge for about 2 months at the time, started in January 1st of 95, and I didn't understand how to go to heaven. I didn't understand that there was a Savior who bled and died for me. I knew there was a Jesus, and I knew I was a sinner, but I didn't understand that He died in my place, and that was the way to heaven. Sunday night after church, I went home to my apartment. I was reading my Bible. I got down on my knees and I asked Him to be my Savior. Oh, what a blessing and how life changed. It's wonderful to have Jesus as your Father and friend.
Anybody else?
1 John 3:1-2 says, "Beloved, what manner of love? Behold, what manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." If it wasn't for the blood, and if it wasn't for his broken body, we would not know what we look like. We shall see him as he is because of that shed blood and that broken body. And I'm so thankful for that. He calls us his sons and his daughters.
Anybody else? Sing it with me. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood. Anybody. Let's all stand together, shall we? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation. Give you one announcement. Brother Henry Benick, our faithful missionary to the Jews, will be with us on Wednesday night. I'm excited about that. He lost his wife recently. The Lord took her home. So we want to love on him when he comes in here. And I hope you'll be right at your place Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Thank you for being here. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming tonight.